we would ever be more than friends. Now I'm all confused, cause for you I have deeper feelings. We both thought it was cool to cross the line, and I was convinced it would be alright. Now things are strange, nothing's the same, and really I just want my friend back.
Yo, welcome to the Cold World Podcast. Now, this is coming in a day late because I had to finish the OJ documentary before I did this podcast, all right? I'm going to go into that a little bit, but I wasn't going to watch it because I've been over OJ for a minute, so I didn't watch the series that came on, and then I didn't watch the ESPN 30 for 30. And then my book club, I'm in a black men book club. They were talking about it, and I was like, yeah, I'm good, I'm not gonna watch it. And it was like, nah, man, you gotta watch it. It's like crazy dope. So being a good member, I obliged. Man, listen, 15 minutes into episode one, I was hooked, I was gone. Canceled a day, wherever I was going, wasn't happening. Whatever article I was writing needs to get written later. I had to get through every second of this documentary. So I'm going to talk about that and a few other things. But as I'm mentioning this book club, I love being a part of book clubs. I've been a part of some type of book club for the last decade for the most part. And then that one kind of fizzled out. But we just started a new one. Black men, folks that I know, that I work with, that's in and around the education world or whatnot. And so our first book was The Fire Next Time by James Baldwin. And we connected on that, had our first meeting. Our homie hosted. He fired up his grill, all that stuff. It was great. The book was dope. We got a chance to really break that book down and go deeper into, you know, what James Baldwin kind of was trying to hint at with The Fire Next Time and why it was significant. And then we kind of did a synopsis and a comparison of, if I only had one book to read to my nephew, which book would it be? Would it be The Fire Next Time, or would it be Malcolm X? And that led to a really dope discussion. Everybody that answered, I mean, there were answers for both, but there was really good arguments made. So anyway, the next book that we're reading is Faces at the Bottom of the Well by Derek Bell. I don't know much of anything about this book, so I'm excited to read it. And that should be fun, man. That should be fun. I'm actually hosting the next one. It's going to be held at my house. So, you know, we'll see, man. We'll get everybody in my little apartment to talk about this, to talk about that book. So before I go into the OJ documentary and all that good stuff, yo, I read this article, and it was basically about something to the extent of fake it till you make it, right? And it was a perplexing article. It's rare that I read something and I'm kind of like, oh, okay, let me kind of stay here for a minute and go deeper into what this means. So I reposted the article and I just put like the little thought face on it, because I was just like, I wanted to see what other people would thought, because the general, well, here's what the article I just want to see what it's called so I can share it with you all. It's called Why Fake It Till You Make It Is So Effective, According to Science. And so I read it, and it was just talking about giving off the air. This is how I took it. I think of faking it till you make it is kind of getting off the air that you know something when you technically don't. And then you kind of grow into it. And I think that does kind of have its place, right? I think there is something to be said about being confident like you might get a promotion to a job and you're not quite ready to do that job, but you still need to walk with an air of confidence and then work your way into it, right? Like project that positivity and move into it. But I think there's also just fronting too, right? Like I've also met people in various fields of work that's just fronting, that don't really have, you know, that experience. Now, you're never going to go into any type of situation fully prepared and all that stuff. And I think, but I guess where I'm at with that is like, but you say that, right? You say, I'm not fully prepared, or you acknowledge that you're not quite there yet. I mean, I don't know, man. So I'll post the article. I'll tag the article in the notes section so you can go and read it yourself. I'm now at this point, I am days removed from it. So the article in and of itself is fine. I actually don't have an issue with the theory that dude is pushing, or whoever wrote it is pushing. But it led to other conversations for me, right? Because authenticity, man, I think that we just live in a world where authenticity just doesn't matter anymore. I actually think it's a liability. So, you know, I'm a big hip-hop head, love music and all that good stuff. You used to have to be authentic to do that. And I think that authentic people kind of rise to the top. Like, I think Tupac was a very authentic person, albeit quite emotional. I think Eminem was a very authentic rapper, right? So these are people, DMX, the king of authenticity. Like, these are like favorite rappers of mine. I think Jay-Z was able to stay on top for so long because he actually did a lot of things that he talked about. And you could tell that there was a level of authenticity there. Now, that's just not where that genre is, right? Like, so Rick Ross is a big rapper, but his entire career is built off of kind of a lie, right? Like, you know, like, dude lied about being like a correctional officer because it's not a cool thing to be associated with law enforcement and hip hop. And even though the pictures came out, and you know, he's still hollering about a boss, and he was moving all kinds of cocaine. What? And that's the thing. You don't need to have moved drugs to be authentic. You know what I mean? Like, I would have been totally fine with that guy if, when asked if he was a correctional officer, off from the rip, he would have been like, yeah, and that was a great job, and I had good benefits, and you should do that too. Like, I would have been like, oh, that's what's up. This is a real dude. But he, like, lied and tried to hide that, right? Like, it wasn't, you know what I'm saying? Like, that has always bothered me. Like, he's never recovered from that for me. I mean, there are certain songs that he makes that I'm like, okay, that's a cool song. Like, songs with Hov, you know, like, you know, I got it. Like, I like that song. You feel me? But I just think that, but bro, you're not comfortable in your own skin and who you are. Like, Kanye West ain't talking about busting guns or nobody. He's authentic. He's an emotional prima donna that can make dope ass music, right? And that's just who he is. So, and I think it adds a level of authenticity regardless how you feel about him. He's like, oh, that's a real person. You know what I'm saying? So I look at that because so let me take it out of the hip-hop world. I was just trying to use that to level set. But in life, like, does it really pay off to be, like, truly authentic, right? Truly. This is the thing. If we hanging out, and I ain't got a whole bunch of friends, because that's just not how I get down. But if I'm, like, out in a circle and we having a conversation, if you ask me a question, I'm going to tell you the truth. Like, I'm going to tell you the truth, right? Like, but, I mean, don't you want people to, I guess that's the question. Like, do you want folks to be honest, or do you want folks to be socially acceptable and appropriate? Like, do you want people to give you the truth when you ask them for it, or do you want them to give you a smile? So, I mean, I don't know, man. I just feel like I've had, like, a bunch of conversations. So, for instance, I live in Oakland. I have been a Warriors fan for the vast majority of my life. We've talked about this on this podcast. Now, we've also talked about my hate and disdain for bandwagon fans, because I think that makes you a bandwagon person. I think that makes you somebody who is only fooling with a group of people or a person when times are good, right? Like, I don't want that around me. Like, this is not something I enjoy. So when we talk about the Warriors and they had this magnificent, the last two seasons have been magnificent, and now all these people that don't even play basketball, that ain't never cared about the Warriors or whatever, is like the biggest Warrior fans and like the biggest experts on sports, right? So then they lose in a quite embarrassing fashion. It was up 3-1, and they smoked it. You can blame refs. You can blame whatever the case is. The fact is that the awesome two-time MVP that we had didn't give the Herculean performance that you needed, whereas that other dude on the other side put his team on his back and did what he needed to do. It is what it is. The Warriors will be back. Like, Steph Curry is still a beast. Like, they'll be great. He's young. He'll get there. You know what I'm saying? So when people ask me my analysis on that, I say it just like that. And he got like a problem with it, because I don't think that the Warriors got like that the refs won the championship for the Warriors, because they didn't. Not three games. Yeah, they ain't caused them to lose three games in a row. You know what I'm saying? And so we just had the breaking news about Kevin Durant signing to the Warriors. Now check this out. I get the Warriors mad props. The Warriors did what they supposed to do. Y'all need to go and give Joe Lacob a hug, because that owner is doing the things that he said he's going to do. He is putting the resources out there, and he is making it possible for us to go get amazing free agents. You know what I mean? They supposed to go after Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is the best player in that pool by far. And the Warriors did what they need to do. Bravo. That GM is going to get GM of the year probably. Right? We'll see how. I mean, the ball still got to hit the court and they still got to win games or whatever. But we'll see what happens, right? And we'll see the moves that other teams make in response to that. Now, but when you ask me my opinion on it, I'm going to tell you that. And I'm going to also tell you, as a fan of Kevin Durant, as somebody who is like Kevin Durant, as somebody who thinks his game is phenomenal, he has potential to be the best person in the league. I truly believe that, being 6'10", 6'11", being able to pull up from anywhere, being able to put the ball on the floor. Like, that kid is amazing. I'm mad disappointed in him as a competitor. As a competitor. My dude, you was a few minutes away from getting to the finals, where I think from a matchup standpoint, y'all actually probably would have beat the Cavs. So you get embarrassed in the conference finals because you was up 3-1 and y'all smoked it up. You smoked it, son. You smoked it. You smoked it. That's it. Like them boys took your heart. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's bad. You lost, right? You think the answer to that is to go and be on a team with the cast that just made history off of you and embarrassed you? Word? When you was this close to winning? Like, I just don't respect it. I'm speaking for me. I don't respect it looking at a competitor. Like, as a competitor, like, I want to beat those cats. Like, I now want to beat you and beat you so bad. Now, if you didn't want to do it at OKC, that's fine. Like, it's the Clippers. You had, like, Boston, where you could have went and, like, made your own, like, you know what I'm saying? But you partner up with the cats that smacked you up. But I'm a hater if I say that, right? So again, let me be very clear. Warriors, bravo. Great job. It's going to be some exciting games this year. It's going to be interesting to see how all that gels. Sure, y'all going to be fine. Sure, y'all going to be back to the finals. Probably going to win multiple finals, right? multiple championships. Got it. That's dope. Happy for the city. Kevin Durant, that's somebody who I like had a lot of respect for. I just think that that's whack. Now, here's the thing. You can say what you want, right? But do you want somebody to be real? Do you want somebody to like say the politically correct thing? Because had the Cavaliers gone out after losing last year and picked up Kevin Durant, everybody around me, everybody in this neighborhood, everybody I saw, they would have had jokes for days. For days. Come on, man. But what you want, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? See, this is why I'm cool with, like, chilling by myself. Because if you deny that, if you deny that you would have a problem if that happened with the Cavs or somebody else, then I know you're not keeping it a buck. You're just not keeping that thing all the way real. And it's no reason not to. There's no reason not to. But it's gonna be interesting to see. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm still waiting to see what the Knicks do. I see that they got, you know, Derek and Joakim now. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, as a Bulls fan, it hurts me to see those guys go. But I am fans of those guys, so I'll definitely be checking out some Knicks games just because, I mean, I'm fans of those two. But staying on this theme, right? Like, then we get to the OJ trial. Yo. When I tell you that this OJ documentary is must-see TV, I did not expect to be immersed into a world so vivid, so rich with history, so rich with context, that I would bury myself over this long weekend. I had plans this weekend, B. Like, I had so much stuff that I was gonna read. I got the Pocket app. Like, I got a whole bunch of articles in that app that's just ready to be read. You know what I mean? Like, I had my notebook ready to like write. I was ready until I sat down and started watching that documentary. Nothing happened. It just stopped. Everything just stopped. I had to pull myself off that screen to go and do, like, things that I earlier committed to. The first episode, yo. So, just showing you the politics of San Francisco and Los Angeles and USC and just watching OJ play, yo. Like, bruh was a beast. He was a monster on the field. All you see is this dude floating like a gazelle, yo. That dude was a beast. And then they went into like the racial tensions and the history of that play. Man, I can't even. You just gotta watch it. I'm probably gonna have to do a show that's just dedicated to it. You know what I mean? Because I was gonna take notes, but I couldn't even do that. I every time I was like, oh, I'm gonna get my notebook. And I'm a watch it, you know what I'm saying, with my notebook and take some notes so I can like really go in and talk about it. I couldn't. There was no time for that. I will say this. Johnny Cochran and that group of lawyers on the Dream Team is the best team since Boston Celtics won like 13 titles. Like that team was pristine, son. Like, they were surgical in this case. What they did to that prosecution, yo, like, they put them cats on a string and toyed with them. Chris Darden, God bless him. Chris Darden is the brother that the prosecution got because they knew they needed a black dude. And you know what? By all means and accounts, that brother is smart. You know what I mean? Like, he's a smart dude. And they just wrecked him. You know what I mean? Like, they just wrecked him. And here's the thing. I'm looking, if I'm Chris Darden, who actually made some really good points, and in hindsight, you know what I'm saying, he kind of got skewered. Everybody else got to have a great career after that. I didn't see Marsh Clark over a whole bunch of stuff. I ain't seen Chris Darden. Now, maybe his career has been great. I don't know. I feel like that loss kind of got pinned on him a little bit. But to be the antithesis of black people in the representation and the circus that became the O.J. Simpson trial, I can definitely see how it could weigh on you and lead you to make some bad choices. I can definitely see, especially with like Johnny Cochran. Johnny Cochran is the most swagged out. And look, check this out. Charles has no hate for Johnny Cochran, yo. Like, when I saw Johnny being Johnny, I got it. I got it, yo. When they went back to him being 27 with the glasses and the part in his hair, you know what I'm saying? And he was trying that case at a woman whose husband got shot on her lap. I said he's a monster. That dude's a beast. The level of efficiency. And this is the crazy thing. This is that part about, do you want people to keep it real with you or say the politically correct thing? When it's a black dude that's that good at their job, why is it that they instantly got to be the devil? Like, the way Johnny Cochran got portrayed is like sleazy and this, that, and the third. Brett was just good. He did his job. He did his job. And so when Chris Darden is trying to make the case, Chris. See, I think Chris was trying to keep it real and it went real bad for him. When he was trying to make the case that if y'all got to hear and read the stuff around Mark Furman and all these people where it said nigga and all that, that would just change the entire trial. Black folks would not be able to focus on the facts and that it would turn into a racial thing. The way Johnny Cochran skewered that boy, he killed that boy's career right there. When he apologized on behalf of Chris Darden to the black community, said, "I am offended." Oh my goodness. And Nicole, you know, and I mean, and God bless the dead, but I mean, it was wild. It was wild. And you know what I'm saying? Even as we look at trials, like, I remember listening for like in the Oscar Grant and seeing what happened with that. The Trayvon Martin. Now, when I was in Atlanta, and when the Trayvon Martin verdict came out, I was out there. I think I was out there for a conference. I went to visit some friends or something, and just seeing how, you know, watching that trial and all that stuff and how that kind of came out and came back. I mean, it was wild, you know. But this the thing, though, man. When you beat white people, they don't stop. They don't stop. The Goldmans and the Browns, yo, like, the clamps they put on that boy and took everything. And then, I mean, this is the thing, like the devolution from that you saw where they show OJ just spiral, you know, in the fifth episode, like post trial and all that stuff, where he's trying to get his life back on, and then boom, they put the they got their hands in his pocket. The civil suit, yo, I didn't know, like, you only need to kind of prove your case. That was crazy. When they were like, you kind of just need to be 51%, right? Like, that allowed them to take that dude's life. $33 million. You know what I'm saying? They took that boy's Heisman. I mean, it's crazy. It was crazy. And so then you see that. And then it's like, well, how is they getting more trouble? It's like, well, I could see that, man. Like, I could definitely see if you took everything I got and y'all just not going to let me live. I go down to Miami. I meet some people. I got a new group of friends. I got to start hiding money and building companies so y'all can't touch my money. And then somebody was stealing my personal belongings, man. Listen, he ran up on those, he ran up on dude, was like, give me all this, break yourself, give me all my stuff. They gave that dude 33 years. Come on, man. White, listen, white people don't stop. They don't stop. And that's the difference, yo. Like, when this Trayvon Martin stuff, with this Tamir Rice stuff, with this Oscar Grant stuff, like, we just take it. You just gotta take it on the chin, and we'd be upset, and we might march or something like that. Nah, man, they had a recourse, and they didn't stop till they got to that dude was done. So we'll see if OJ get out on, you know, supposed to be up to the parole board next year. We'll see. But, I mean, and this ain't a, you know, I'm not over here shedding, you know, mega tears for O.J. Simpson either. I mean, that's, you know, that brother left this, he left this community a long time ago. You know what I mean? I don't know, man. This is a tragic story all around. That boy could run a football. That boy could run a football. So, I mean, just in the topics that we talked about today, I think, I mean, mine was more about what, like, what's real, what's up with this, like, fake it till you make it thing, right? So when we talk about whether it's opinions on sports, whether it's, you know, OJ leaving the black community to kind of become this transient figure that wasn't bound by race or whatever the case was, you know, to you just giving your real opinion, like, I'm really, I struggle with that authenticity thing, man, because I find myself, especially in California, in this hyper-liberal place where I think folks are liberal just in speech and not really in action a lot of times. Like, it's hard, man. Like, it's real. I think it gets real difficult. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't always feel like people make the choice that would make sense with all the evidence put in front of them, hence the conversations that we just talked about today. I think a lot of decisions here get made by what people feel other people is going to respond to and react to. And I just can't live my life like that, man. Like, I think that's a sad existence. I'd rather be alone with just me, you know what I'm saying, and being able to look at myself in the mirror and, like, trying to, like, kowtow to people that I don't even know, that don't really give a damn about me anyway. Like, I can't do it, man. Like, but I don't know. And I think it's a political place. I think it's a political world, but people gonna use you till they don't need you no more. People exalt you just to break you down. Listen, man, that king thing, heavy as the head that wears the crown. If you aim to be loved by a whole bunch of people, you might get that love. I actually don't think that love is hard to find. You can build it up. But they gonna drop you so hard, bruh. Because we expect everybody to be perfect. Yeah, I ain't perfect. I ain't nowhere near it. You ain't got to go and dig up tapes or none of that stuff. I will tell you. You know what I'm saying? Like I think Oprah is super dope, man. I just don't like the tearing down of folks the way that we do in this society. Especially when you want them to be who they are and they try to be that. You know what I'm saying? And then what's going to happen is you get people that are just flip out all the way. Like Kanye West, he just flips. Like, I get it. Like, I mean, built that dude up. Definitely got some ego issues and maybe a guy complex and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But if you want the art, you got to take the rest. If you going to use me up for all the good stuff, you got to take the good, you got to take the good with the bad. Like, you have to. Like, you don't get to sparse people up like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, but I just think it's interesting. Anyway, I'm not a philosopher. I'm not about to go up all into that. We at the 30-minute mark. I had a great time, man. I rarely do these in the morning. But I had to finish the OJ documentary. You wouldn't have got a good show if I did this before finishing that. Because I would have did the whole thing rambling about what's about to happen in this next episode. But at any rate, man, keep continuing to take care of yourself and each other, yo. Can't wait to talk to you all again. And I hope y'all have a dope week. And you can hit me on Twitter. I do get comments and questions and all that stuff, and I try to answer them. If you want to hit me on Twitter, you can. It's at @ccoleiii. That's at @ccoleiii. And that's the same across Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Email folks end up sending an email. That's charles@energyconverters.org. And all that stuff will be in the notes section. Feel free to share it. All that stuff helps. Rate on iTunes, all that great stuff. But, you know, at any rate, man, I just enjoy having a forum where I can talk and be honest and, you know, deal with whatever the consequences are later. But I think it is what it is. At any rate, though, have a great week. Hope y'all enjoying the start of the summer. And I get up with y'all.
Your husband was a drug dealer. For 14 years, he sold crack cocaine.
Federico Fellini in the flesh. Sergio Cecchini inside his mesh. Bitch, I've been bracking since the 80s. Google me, baby, you crazy. 89 in London pulling Benz. Type it in, Google's your friend, bruh. 14-year drug dealer and still counting. Who deserves the medal of freedom is my accountant. He been hula hooping through loopholes, working round shit. IRS should've had the townhouses surrounded. Thanks to the lawyers, marbled the foyer, tore the floor up, yeah. That's for the koi fish. We been dining on oysters. I walked through the garage just like multiple choices. I told him pull a Royce up. I'm getting ghosts. I'm hearing noises, I think it's the boys, but I've been banking the Deutsche. We got storefronts, we got employee stubs. We've been opening studios and 40-40s up. The paper trail is gorgeous. Cases, we bury some before a reasonable doubt drop. The jury hung. Bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. My tenure took me through Virginia. Ask Teddy Riley about me. Ask the federales about me. Try to build a cell around me. Snatch my nigga Emery up. Try to get him to tell about me. He told 12, give me 12. He told him to go to hell about me. Drug dealers anonymous. Y'all think Uber's the future. Our cars been autonomous. Mules move the drums. Take them to different spots. We just call the shots by simply moving our thumbs. I'm a course of miracles with this shit. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Therein lies the peace of God. I always knew I was a prophet, but I couldn't find a decent job. Life made me ambidextrous, counting with my right, whipping white with my left wrist. Damn, Daniel, FBI keep bringing them all white vans through.